Happy Saturday, Nashville, and welcome into the Michelle and Junie Show. We've got the whole gang in the studio on this cold morning in Nashville, a nice 30 degrees to start your morning. We are in the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios today. And if you want to watch us streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, you can watch us live. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook Live, every day our video stream is brought to you by the law offices. Brought to you by Superbook. I'm Michelle Knezvik, joined Junie Riddle. How we doing? We got Jared Cassidy back there. Junie, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing so great. You know, the NFL playoffs start today, and I'm just so excited. I know there's a couple games out there that a lot of people aren't looking forward to tune into. I know some backup quarterbacks are going to be playing this weekend, but who cares? Who cares? It's down to the wire. We got the final 14 teams in the tournament.
Final four. Don't get ahead of yourself, Junie.
I know. I'm super excited for today. I know you and Ryan are coming over tonight to watch the Chargers-Jags game. You know, we're going to be throwing out some appetizers and eating and watching the game. I'm just super pumped for Super Wild Card Weekend.
Jared, what about you? You excited for some football playoffs?
Very much so. Obviously, kind of bittersweet because once the playoffs get here, that means that we're not going to have football for a while. But it is always fun when the playoffs come around and we get a little bit closer to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's always a memorable night. Just super pumped. Can't believe that it's actually here.
This season went by so quick.
It did.
And I agree with you, Jared, because it's so exciting for football playoffs, but it's also very bittersweet because it's January 14th and it's like, only a month left and then off season. And I just hope it's a wild off season and we have a lot to talk
about. But it's okay. Just like you said. Even Jared had mentioned this when we were chatting before the show started. The season is coming down to an end. But football is 24/7, 365.
True.
And this off season, I mean, last off season was crazy. It was nuts. It was every single day. It was free agency. It was draft. It was quarterback movement. I mean, I'm excited for all of it. And then even after all that stuff is done and over with, the schedule release, you know, rookie minicamp.
Junie, you do not get excited for the schedule release.
Are you kidding me? Yes, I do.
I mean, the good thing is that you do always come, like right now we know a lot of next year's opponents, obviously.
Yeah.
But it is cool to see the teams that we don't normally see, like Tennessee, obviously, when like New England comes to town. That's a big get to come down here. Like those things are awesome. But I'm with y'all, man. Silly season for the NFL, this off season, whatever you want to call it, underwear parties, whatever they call the draft now, and combines. I'm totally here for it. Like, let's go.
I will say I'm excited for the Pro Bowl this year, which is something I traditionally am not too excited for. It's going to be dodgeball matchups, and it'll be interesting to see how it's portrayed on the TV. I know that the Manning brothers are going to be somewhat a part of the broadcast, so that might be a little entertaining.
Well, they're actually coaching against each other in the flag football tournament. Now, the flag football stuff, Now, I am one that likes to watch, like, the QB skills challenge. I think that's pretty entertaining. Dodgeball, I don't know if they did that last year because I'm not going to lie to you. I don't really watch the Pro Bowl very often nowadays. But I did watch them play dodgeball a couple years ago, and that was pretty interesting to see
who was
really good at. Yeah, oh, yeah, they should definitely mic that up because, guys, I mean these are the biggest competitors in the world. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, watching them play a dodgeball game would have to be really fun because, I mean, what is it? It's a gym class game, and these guys are going to take it ultra seriously. So,
well, it's funny, too, because you see them performing at the level they would be able to. And then you just, like, imagine yourself in gym class when you were a kid going so hard and you can't even imagine what they're doing. But listen, if you want to weigh in during the show this morning, 615-737-1025. It's official. We are 2 hours long on Saturday. Junie, Jared, and I will be with you from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We want your participation, text, calls. We are going to be talking a lot of different things from the Tennessee Titans, Preds a little bit, super wild card weekend. We have got a lot to cover today, but if you've never listened to the show before, I always like to preface that. Grab your coffee. It's time for the Morning Brew. We're going to go through the top headlines. Jared, hit it.
Taking you around the sports world for the biggest headlines. This is the Morning Brew. presented by Nashville Jam Company on Michelle and Junie.
You heard it. Morning brew time. We have got a lot happening within the sports world here in Nashville. But we're going to kick it off with the Tennessee Titans. They have officially begun their GM search. We've heard a couple different candidates. They've concluded their in-house candidate interviews with Ryan Cowden and
Monty Austin Fort.
Monty Austin Fort. Thank you, Junie. You saw that I had a little brain fart there for a second. They've also completed interviews with Browns assistant GM, VP of player personnel, Glenn Cook, and 49ers director of player personnel, Rand Carthon. So those are two other guys that they went through interviews with. So the Titans have announced that. They've gone through those interviews so far. They will have some more, and they will continue to post who they'll be interviewing. So I have a feeling we will have an answer somewhat soon once they finish these interviews. Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Shrunk said that they want to do this as soon as possible, as quickly as possible. So one of the biggest questions will be, are they staying in-house or will they decide to go with somebody who is from another organization and not stay with their in-house candidates? Also, OC search will be going on as well. That will not happen until after the GM search is there. I have a feeling Tim Kelly, the in-house guy who was the passing game coordinator from the Houston Texans last year who joined the staff, I have a feeling he's probably the front runner right now. But there are some other names being thrown around there, Bill O'Brien, and just some other names around the league. But we have no update on that. As far as official updates, it's kind of just all speculation at this point. Nashville Predators were on a five-game road streak. They got 3 out of the 5 wins, 6 out of the 10 points. Coming back to Smashville today, they've got a little matinee hockey game. The Buffalo Sabres are coming to town. I don't know if you guys have seen these Sabres uniforms that they are going to wear.
Oh, yeah, the reverse retro.
My gosh. I think these are probably my favorite sports uniforms I've ever seen.
I haven't seen them.
Look it up on Twitter or something. Reverse retro Sabres uniforms. They're all white and they've got a blue and yellow outline. So the Sabres will be coming to town today. When they were in Montreal. Oh. Yeah, they're sick, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The young and great Max Herz is a big fan of these jerseys, apparently, as early this morning.
I'll tell you what. This is probably not going to be popular on Nashville Airways. I really have always been a big St. Louis Blues jerseys guy. I have no affiliation with the Blues. I like the Blues jerseys, but listen, these are really nice. These are really nice jerseys.
Yeah, they are. They're definitely, like I said, top five for sure of this year. I mean, the Preds isn't bad either. You know, it's obviously a little bit of the older take, the mustard cat, whatever you want to call it.
I do like them.
I like them, but yeah, the worst one that I've seen is Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has the worst reverse retro jerseys. It's like got like the bolt on it, like all the way around, like a checkerboard pattern. Yeah. Just not cool.
I'm usually for retro jerseys, but just for maybe like a game or two. I just think it gets all over the place. They try to make it too much of a thing of switching jerseys all the time. And sometimes I'm like, okay, just go back to the basics of things. Guys, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this game at the top of the show. We've got, look at Jared pumping his fist right now. I don't know if anybody heard earlier this week on Robbie and Rex Road, but I'm fully, not fully out, but I am pretty out on my Kentucky Wildcats right now. And this Tennessee team looks like one of the best teams in the country right now. So that will be in Thompson Bowling Arena today at noon. Always a big matchup, big conference matchup, but I have a feeling that Tennessee will
They always play close games. Seldomly is it a blowout, but I told Junie earlier, and you just weren't here yet, I smell a trap game for the Vols here today. Vols coming off 2 big wins in the SEC, Kentucky coming off some bad losses. Mm-hmm. This might be a turnaround game for the Cats, but... Give me the Vols, though. Obviously.
Not likely.
Listen, we will see. I'm not even going to – I'm pretty out this team.
I want to know this, though, Michelle. John Calipari, what are your thoughts about his job security after this season?
I think, you know, when you look at – is it – like, if you just look at it from Mitch Barnhart, the AD's perspective, he's fine. Like, nothing would happen – Like, I truly do believe as long as he wants to coach there, he will be able to coach there. But
you really think so?
No.
If Kentucky misses the NCAA tournament this year, I think Calipari's gone.
No, I think it would be more of that Texas job being open. I think it'd be more of Cal being like, you know what? I'm going to go down there. He's a candidate. Well, he's said to be a candidate for that job. I think it would more be, you know what? I'm going to go down there. I'm going to get more money, less pressure to succeed in a Texas program like that. But, I mean, I personally, I talked on the show, am out. I need Jay Wright to come out of retirement and off into the sunset with that. But, listen, we'll get into that when we do our picks. We'll talk a little bit more about that game. But really quick, you know, I mentioned the Preds. A scar off the 2020 first-round pick for the Nashville Predators got his first start in goal in Montreal the other night. So that was really exciting for Predators fans to be able to see him on the ice. The guy is agile. The guy is athletic.
He's flashy for sure.
He is out of the net. He is on his stomach. I mean,
he looked really good. I would say the Predators defensemen did not do him any. I mean, there were so many passing lanes across the middle of the crease that just put him in some awful situations. He had some really good saves, and I watched the entire game the other night. I actually rushed home when I heard it on the radio to be able to watch this game, because I knew, I was like, this is going to be the biggest news the Preds have all year long, my opinion. Because, you know, they're going to be fighting for a playoff position, but the fact that they got their big-time goalie that everybody's been hyping up for the last couple years in for a game at the last minute, and he performs like that under those circumstances, I would say he looks pretty promising for the future.
Well, and you talk about an arena that's pretty – your first game is in Montreal, which is pretty high up there when it comes to intimidating.
On PK Subban night.
Yeah, that was a really tough environment in a hockey mecca.
There you go, Jared. That's perfect. 100%.
Biggest barn there is in the NHL. Some of the rowdiest fans. And, I mean, you could hear it. Like I told Junior, like I worked both of those games at the tail end of the road trip here. And you could – when I bring them down and put them in preview, for those that don't know – it's still incredibly loud. And that goal horn that they have, it rivals, it beats the Columbus Blue Jackets horn. Like, it was incredibly loud. That place was super hype that night.
And pretty promising. Kevin Lincoln in the backup goalie, they did say he was day-to-day. Seems to be an illness. So Askarov, I am assuming, will go back to Milwaukee. But really, really exciting just to see him get his first NHL start. I touched on it earlier in the morning brew. The Tennessee Titans are on a search for a GM and a new offensive coordinator this offseason. But the biggest question is, will they decide to stay in-house, or will they choose to hire somebody from another franchise? Junie and I will discuss all this on the other side. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
Internal candidates right now, the incumbents. Do you think they have any real shot at getting this job?
I think so. I mean, look, man, Ryan Cowden as a GM brought in who? Josh Dobbs. That right there, because Dobbs had them in position to win against Jacksonville.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That right there, that's a plus, a feather in his cap during this trial era. You know, and Monty Osifor, I mean, you have to look. He's tenured, right? And he has that Patriot background also. So, yeah, I think they have absolute right to you know, be able to interview for this, and I think they should be candidates, and they are.
That was Teron Davenport earlier this week on Stillman and Company discussing the internal candidates for the Tennessee Titans as they are on their search for their new general manager. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic, joined with Junie Riddle. We also got Jared Cassidy here with us today discussing the Tennessee Titans and where they go from now on. With a new GM, with a new OC. One of the biggest questions is, will they stay in-house? Teron Davenport, you just heard the clip there, talking about Monty. Austin Fort, a guy who is tenured, a guy who came from the Patriots. We all talk about, you know, Mike Vrabel loves his guys who he trusts, who he's worked with before, who he knows people in the Patriots organization have worked with before. But when it comes to these two, I think where I kind of raise my eyebrows or raise a question to is, you know, if Ryan Cowden was named the interim GM, but now Monty Austin Fort is also a candidate. I know you have to interview a bunch of people. Yeah. But to me, I just think I couldn't see Monty Austenfort getting it after Ryan Cowden's been named the interim GM to then kind of take a step back and then switch that. Does that make sense?
Well, I think Monty Austenfort, you know, all of his years in New England, I mean, he was in New England from 2003 till I think about 2019, around 2020, he came into the Titans organization. So I think they're going to keep him in mind just from his experience being there in New England, winning four Super Bowls. But when you look at Ryan Cowden, I think Ryan Cowden has kind of been around different places. And I think he's been with the Tennessee Titans since 2016. So he was here from the very beginning of when the Titans kind of started to turn the table when John Robinson
got hired. He's a John Robinson guy.
So he's been here. He knows the personnel. He knows this team better than anybody. So I would say, you know, right now he would be the favorite to me being the in-house candidate. But, you know, they got a lot of good candidates outside of the organization as well. You know, I really like Rand Carthen, you know, from the 49ers. You know, he's been around. Malik Boyd from the Buffalo Bills. You know, he was with the Arizona Cardinals from 2008 all the way up until around 2016, and then he went to the Bills in 17. So he was really in the Cardinals when they were going to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and then they kind of had a down era, and then he really brought them back when they had Carson Palmer and went to the NFC Championship in 2015 again, and then, you know, going to the Bills when Sean McDermott got hired and really kind of turning that franchise around. So, you know, Malik Boyd's been a part of two different franchises and made them competitive in their front office as well. And again, we don't know the level of impact that these guys have or how much, you know, their opinions or their decisions are weighed in by the head guy. But, you know, we're talking about some good candidates here that have had some been a part of some good organization and good teams, especially like rebuilding teams.
So a couple of the names, Ryan Carthen, you just mentioned from the 49ers, another 49ers guy, where did it just go? Adam Peters, Glenn Cook from the Cleveland Browns right now, Ian Cunningham from the Chicago Bears right now. He's another name that actually Teron Davenport on Chase and Michelle on our show earlier this week said, you know, in his mind, Ian Cunningham is one of the guys that's really, really stuck out to him.
Well, he was with Philadelphia. So he started out in Philadelphia in 17.
Currently, right now with the Bears, but yes.
But he went to the Bears this past year as the assistant GM, first assistant GM in Bears history. So that's big.
Yeah. So Ryan Poles made a specific position because he knew he wanted Ian on his staff. But I mean, here's a guy who learned under Ozzie Newsome in Baltimore, in addition to that Philadelphia Eagles experience, and rose to become the Southeast scout for them. So he has, you know, been a part of a lot of successful programs so far in his career as well.
And I think regardless of where the Titans do go with this, I think they got a lot of good candidates here. These are a lot of young, up-and-coming guys that are waiting for their opportunities. Glenn Cook is one that's been interviewing for numerous positions over the years. I think Ryan Cowden, I mean, he's had GM interviews like the last couple years. I have it pulled up here somewhere, but I think he interviewed with the Chiefs back in 2017. He interviewed with the Steelers last year. So he's a guy that's consistently gotten interviews mm-hmm. for the last 5 years. So he's been a big name that's been, you know, in these GM conversations for an NFL franchise for a long time. And it would only make sense for the Titans to go with a guy that they're comfortable with, that they're familiar with, Vrabel already has a relationship with, and, you know, coming from Amy Adams Strong, that's something that's super important to her. So I would say as of right now, he should be the favorite for the job.
Well, and the biggest question, too, is what direction does this franchise want to go in? So we can speculate. We can talk about the different directions. And I think depending on who they hire for GM will kind of give us maybe a tell in where they're looking to go. Do they want to stay with Ryan Cowden? And the way I look at it is if they stay with Ryan Cowden and they stay with Tim Kelly, two in-house guys as GM and OC, the way I look at that is, okay, Mike Vrabel is the one running his personnel. Mike Vrabel is the one going out and finding these guys and having final say when it comes to conflict between a GM and between a head coach. If they go with somebody outside, I look at it more as, okay, you're going with somebody, you know, on the outside. You want to help, you know, change, somewhat have a different change at the helm for your GM. So I really do think that it will be Ryan Cowden and Tim Kelly, and Mike Vrabel will hold the role that has more say when it comes to personnel decisions, drafting. You have to think, too. I mean, Ryan Cowden did make that big move to get Josh Dobbs at the end of the season and actually allow the Tennessee Titans to still have a chance to go to the playoffs.
And I think that really did save the hope of this team. I mean, we saw the defense get a lot healthier the final couple weeks, and I think the rest against the Cowboys did that. But at the same time, you know, they didn't get the job done. And this team is at a crossroads right now as to, do they bring this core back? Because in Vrabel's press conference, he didn't commit to Tannehill. He kind of called out Derrick Henry. You know, Christian Fulton, David Long Jr., young guys that, you know, are potentially, you know, cornerstone pieces on this defense. He was like, they're not doing good enough on soft tissue injuries. They're not doing well enough, you know, keeping up with their body, which I think goes back to his comment a few weeks ago that this isn't just an 8-to-4 job. You need to be taking care of yourself outside of the building. And so it kind of comes down to this. If they go with the internal candidates at OC, at GM, I think they bring this core back. But if you see some moves being made of bringing guys that are outside of the organization, I think that kind of also sends the message to the team that, hey, maybe you're not coming back this year. You know, maybe we're going to be going in a new direction. Maybe we will rebuild. And I think until we see that and until we know what their plan is, we're not going to necessarily know the direction of the Titans this offseason.
Adam Brown on Twitter tweeted at us, thoughts on Adam Peters turning down the Titans and not even taking an interview. My thoughts on that is the 49ers are still in the playoffs right now, and he's not focusing on taking any interviews. Maybe
that
he just
wants
to
stop Rand Carthen. Then stop Rand Carthen. He just interviewed with the team.
I think it just depends on, you know, the type of – So the reason I bring that up is because Mike Vrabel on Monday discussed, you know, loyalty with specific coaches and things like that. And he specifically mentioned, you know, guys focusing on this team and not, you know, talking to other teams and trying to jump ship, you know. So maybe like Adam Peters, maybe he just wants to stay with the 49ers. It's a great organization and they're constantly contenders in the postseason. But I don't know. He probably just wants to stay there. A personal decision.
And maybe this organization, maybe this city isn't something that where he wants to go. I mean, that's always a possibility. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's because they're in the playoffs. I mean, this is a GM job in the NFL. This is one of 32. If he wanted this job, he would have came and took the interview. Rand Carthen did. He's with the 49ers. They're in the playoffs. And he decided that he didn't want to come for an interview. So to me, that's telling, no, he's not a candidate.
And sometimes the way people look at this organization and where they are and the huge fall off that they had towards the end of the season, that can also play a role in somebody not wanting to be a part of a team like this and at what stage they are now. Hey, I don't want to go be a GM if, you know, I think they're going to have to rebuild heavily right now because it is a tall task. But these decisions, I think, will determine Mike Vrabel's future with the Tennessee Titans. Junie and I are going to discuss that on the other side. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
Okay, so let's say you're interviewing for the GM position. And instead of giving me the outline of, you know, we could run it back with Henry and Tannehill, or we could go in a different direction, which road would you go?
Different direction. I would go in a different – I'm going to say the opposite of you. Again, we're trending – I mean, I'm not giving an opinion. It's a fact. They're trending in the wrong direction. If the objective, again, is to compete for the AFC South Championship and host a playoff game, then it is what it is. But I sense that there's a bigger objective here. That's why the ownership made the GM move in the middle of the season.
That was Bob Shoop earlier this week on Stillman and Company discussing where the Titans go with their general manager search. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic with Junie Riddle and Jared Cassidy. A lot of big moves for this Tennessee Titans team in the next couple of weeks here. First on the ballot, they need to hire a new general manager. We discussed some of the in-house candidates and some of the external candidates. They have conducted interviews this week, and I have a feeling within the next week or so, we will figure out the direction that this team wants to go. Do they want to stay with somebody who's in-house, or do they want to go with an external candidate? They also have to hire a new offensive coordinator. And both of these two big decisions, I mentioned this earlier before we went to the break, Junie, I do truly believe that both of these decisions, and depending on if they work out, depending on if it is, you know, a dumpster fire, I feel as though these decisions will weigh heavy and reflect on Mike Vrabel, I personally think, more than Amy Adams Shrunk. Thoughts?
That's really hard to say in the current moment to me because right now I think the tone of the fan base isn't really happy with either of them, in my opinion. Now a lot
either,
of...
Either of Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Shrunk or...
No, yes, yes. I think right now the way that she fired John Robinson on the Tuesday going into the Jacksonville Jaguars game at home, when you could have locked and sealed the division. I mean, we were there, Michelle. We were talking about, like, we always chat back and forth, like, hey, you know, what are the things you want to ask the players? What do you want to talk to Vrabel about? We always talk about this in the midst of the game. And in the first half of that Jaguars game, when the Titans really had control of the game, you know, they were leading, you know, they were moving the ball really well. I asked you, I was like, if they win this game, which at the time we likely thought they would,
we did.
Should we go in and ask the players, hey, like, are y'all going to start resting? Like, you basically have the division locked up. It would have to be pretty crazy, catastrophic for you all to lose. And then what happened? They ended up losing and went down by 3 touchdowns, only lost by 2. But they got absolutely mollywopped at the end of the second quarter in the rest of that game.
Mollywopped.
Mollywopped. So
no, and Judy, I mean, you make a great point. And that was on December 12th. They had an opportunity to lock up the division a month ago.
Yeah, and the point of the matter is, you know, Vrabel, regardless of injury, he lost 7 straight games. Like, NFL coaches are not in a good position when you lose 7 straight games. I don't care what the circumstances are. You have to understand that some of that falls onto Vrabel's shoulders. I mean, you can talk about injuries all day long, but if you don't think the attrition of a team has to do with a coach and his message and what he's preaching, if that message isn't getting received to the locker room, who does that fall on? That falls on Mike Vrabel. And if he's calling players out, well, part of that is you. You have to install into your players that, hey, this isn't just in the building. And you can say it in the press conference at the end of the year, but this is something that should have been addressed early on in the year, especially after last season. And when you see it happen 2 years in a row and you're the head coach and your message isn't getting received to these guys that they need to put in work outside the building, that says something about him too. So I think at this current moment, you can look at both the owner and the coach of this team and think, hey, maybe we're not doing a good enough job based on the results of this season.
Well, okay. One thing that you said there, he did say after last year they looked at it. So let's preface that. He did say that they changed things in training camp this past year to focus more on, okay, why are we having so many of these soft tissue injuries and things like that. So it's not like it's been an issue that they're completely ignoring, right? I mean, some of these injuries, like when you talk about an ACL injury, you can't avoid that. When you talk about a concussion,
But that's not the ailing problem of this team. It's the soft tissue. It's the little things. Well, and I don't think it should take after 2 seasons at the very end of the year for you to call out your players and be like, hey, you guys need to do stuff at home. You need to prepare your body. And he used Kevin Byard as an example. Kevin Byard, in my opinion, being in the locker room this past year, is the number one leader on this team. He is the heart and soul of the Tennessee Titans, and he's setting the example, and he used him. He's like, listen, Kevin Byard isn't out here getting soft tissue injuries. Kevin Byard isn't pulling hamstrings. And younger guys that want to be a part of this team in the future, like David Long Jr. and Christian Fulton, they need to follow suit. This is something that should have been a message before this. I just don't think it should have taken almost two full seasons for him to be able to put that out there and say, hey, guys, maybe you all should be working, you know, a little bit after we leave the facility.
Well, okay, I think that's a little unfair, though, for you to say that, because he probably has been saying that to the team for two full seasons.
But that's just something that we don't know.
Yeah,
and if it's still an issue, is his message getting across?
No, but you're saying he hasn't been saying it. So you can't say it either way, if he has or he hasn't been saying
either,
it.
It's either now, his message.
Wait, hey, let me continue. I let you go on. So, okay, so you're saying, you know, it's taken him two full seasons to figure this out. But, I mean, Mike Vrabel has said to us multiple times at multiple press conferences that, you know, they've changed things in training camp, and they have looked at this, and they have, you know, done things behind the scenes to try and figure out, you know, why are we getting these soft tissue injuries? So, you know, to say they haven't done anything, or maybe that's the first time you heard that he's speaking out on it, but, you know, over the last year, and even last year, even through training camp this year, at training camp this year, he mentioned, you know, we're doing different things we're changing things when it comes to practice, when it comes to rehab, when it comes to, like, just like resting your body. But he also mentioned too, some players in the NFL are durable and some players aren't. So you can preach as much as you want on, you know, 9 to 5, and this team has never had, you know, a culture problem, I guess you could say, when it comes to, like, people putting in hard work. And I think, yeah, the coach can preach that and say that, but also at the end of the day, I mean, these are adult men, and they need to realize that it's their job. So when he made the comparison on Monday of, okay, so we have some injuries, and one's a callus and one's a blister, and you need to decide whether, okay, can I push through this feeling of hurt, or am I, like, actually not able to push through? I'm in so much pain right now. So it's like, okay, do you want a callus where you slowly but surely kind of work on it a little bit and you try to push through that pain? Or is it a blister where, okay, it hurts, I need to sit out for a while, and then you go play, and then you get another blister, and then, okay, now I need to sit out for a bit, and then you go play. So, you know, I put the 7 straight losses. Of course you have to put some blame on the coaching staff, of course. But when it comes to these injuries, you know, a lot of the prominent players who got injured, those weren't soft tissue injuries. The Ryan Tannehill one, you can't avoid somebody's ankle getting rolled up in there. Jeffrey Simmons, can't avoid that. Harold Landry, tearing ACL.
I agree.
Taylor Lewan, can't avoid that. Those are 4 guys who make significant differences on this team.
I understand that, but my point of the matter is he put it out on a public platform. So it's either you weren't saying it beforehand after 2 seasons, or your message wasn't getting across to the players. In my opinion, it's one or the other. It has to be. If you're calling out guys for not taking care of their bodies outside of the facility, you either, one, didn't say it up until now when you've made it public in the press conference, or your message wasn't getting across to the players when you say it in private.
Well, I disagree with that. I mean, Mike Vrabel is the last person to call out players. And when he said that, I don't think, like, sitting there, it wasn't a, I'm going to call these 2 guys out. I think it genuinely was, you know, I'm getting so many questions on these injuries right now, and I'm just going to keep getting them from the media. I don't think what he said is something that he hasn't said to David Long Jr. and Christian Fulton probably numerous times, just because if you know the type of guy he is in press conferences, he never goes out of his way to say something negative about his players. He never goes out of his way to even talk about any of his players' injuries. I genuinely think when we were sitting there, he was just trying to give an explanation of, okay, guys, I'm going to explain to you how this is frustrating and what is going on with these injuries. But, you know, Mike Vrabel is the upmost player-first coach. He was in the league. He understands it. I don't think him saying that about Christian Fulton and David Long Jr. in front of the media was him calling out, but rather explaining, okay, these are the issues that we're facing. And I don't think it was the first time. I think that, you know, he's, of course, he said like that to them beforehand.
So if it's not an issue, then why make it public?
No, it isn't. The injuries are an issue.
I understand, and I get that. Not every injury is preventable by doing outside work and taking care of your body. I completely understand what you're trying to say. My point of the matter is that he called out a lot of guys in his final press conference, Derrick Henry included, and I felt like Vrabel didn't really accept a lot of responsibility on the things that he could have done better. When he was posed with the question, after this season, what do you think that you could have done better? He immediately went to the injuries, and then he pivoted and then tried to say, well, you know, we lost seven straight. It's just simply not good enough.
When Ben Arthur asked, how do you self-reflect and look inward on how you personally did coaching? I really like that on Mike Vrabel's answer and how he specifically mentioned certain players and injuries. Junie and I will get to that on the other side. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
The questions they're going to have to ask is Ryan Tannehill a winning playoff quarterback? I mean, let's line them up against the quarterbacks in the AFC playoffs right now. Would you take him over anybody?
I'm just going to tell you the answer to that is no.
Right. That is correct. And I think this is a quarterback-driven league, no matter how we want to look at it. Moving into a new stadium and a new time in the next 3 years, what's the objective here? Is the move now to be loyal and be loyal to Tannehill and be loyal to Henry and run it back and see where we go from here? Or is the move to say, let's make a big move. Let's get into the – maybe make a big move and get into the top handful of picks and get a franchise quarterback.
That was Bob Shoup earlier this week on Stillman & Company discussing, will the Tennessee Titans try to run it back with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry? Will they try to rebuild? A lot of that comes down to who will be their next general manager. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic with Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. If you want to watch us streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, you can watch us every day. Our stream is brought to you by Superbook Sportsbook. At 10:45, we'll be making our picks for Super Wild Card Weekend. Coming up at 10 a.m., we will have Ben Arthur from Fox Sports, covers the AFC South, live from Jacksonville this morning. Got a packed show. If you want to weigh in, text us, call us, 615-737-1025. Jared, you had a question for Junie and I in regards to the Tennessee Titans and what they may decide to do when it comes to hiring their new general manager.
Okay, so with all the attention on the in-house candidates that we've talked about this morning, do both of y'all feel like if they do choose to go with one of those and possibly promote Kelly to offensive coordinator, do you feel like this fan base will think that it is basically status quo and that things won't change and remain the same and we're going to run it back with similar teams, cutting people like Bud Dupree, you know, things that need to happen to save money? I just think that if they do that, and I'm not saying that they can't do it or anything like that, but if they do, I think that this fan base is going to look at it as they are fine with mediocrity and they are just going to stay stagnant and nothing's going to change. What do y'all think?
The way I think about that and the Titans, I guess you could say running it back, or if they decide to go with the in-house candidates, I kind of look at it. I look at it two ways. First off, I look at it as probably the most likely scenario. In my head, in my gut, I feel like that will be the likely answer at GM and at OC. That being said, if Ryan Cowden or Monty Ozenfort are promoted to GM and Tim Kelly is the offensive coordinator, I view that as Mike Vrabel having final say when it comes to personnel decisions, when it comes to him having disagreements with whoever the new general manager is. And I think that that would ultimately result in, you know, keeping a Tannehill, keeping a Henry. I think no matter what they do, you know, running it back or a rebuild, they're going to get rid of guys like Bud Dupree, Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, a bunch of these guys who haven't performed to the level of their contract. When you talk about, you know, staying stagnant, I think that's because if you say being mediocre and being stagnant, I mean, this team did, like, when they hired John Robinson, the franchise completely turned around. So, you know, Ryan Cowden is a John Robinson guy. Yes, I mean, they ended this season awful with the 7 straight losses, and everybody has a very, very sour taste in their mouth. But, I mean, the consistency from when John Robinson got hired to now has been really, really bright, and probably the expectations have been higher than any longtime Tennessee Titans fan when John Robinson got hired. So when you take a look at sticking with a Ryan Cowden, who John Robinson brought into this organization, I don't think you look at it as staying mediocre, or because that is not what this franchise is. Maybe it was this season and the last 7 games. Yes, and I will give you that sour taste in your mouth and that disappointing end to a season. But I think if you take a step back and you look at it as a whole, it's not that.
And I'll preface to you this way, and Michelle, I do agree with you on this. I think if you go in house, I don't think I don't think you're keeping the same message. I don't think you're trying to go in the same direction. And I'll put it to you this way, for those listening at home, and for the two of you to think about. I mean, we all have bosses, unless you own your own business. And let's say your boss were to get fired, you know, and you were to get promoted. Are you going to go into that job and do the exact same thing that your boss did?
No.
You're going to have different ideas. You're going to have your own opinions. And you know, when your boss is in that position and your boss is the decision maker, that person has the final say. Now, from a person being the number two, being below them, you're constantly looking at what your superior is doing and saying, you know, I would probably do that. Or, you know, I would probably go in a different direction. You know, everybody has their own ideas of what they want to do. And when I look at a guy like Ryan Cowden, you know, he brought in a Joshua Dobbs. You know, when John Robinson was at the helm, he didn't do that. They stuck with Malik Willis, knowing good and well he wasn't ready to be the backup. And if something happened to Tannehill, you know, they were going to put this kid, this rookie, this raw talent in a really bad situation. And only after one game that Tannehill went down, because John Robinson got fired before the Jacksonville Jaguars game.
Correct.
Tannehill played in the Chargers game, and then they gave Malik Willis one shot to play against the Houston Texans, and it was awful. Yep. And then he immediately went and got Josh Dobbs, and then Josh Dobbs played the remaining 2 games. So –
well, they had seen, though, earlier in the season what he could do, and it wasn't much, right? So he had time when Tannehill was back and forth on that ankle injury, when you think about the first Houston Texans game, when you think about the Chiefs game. And, yeah, those were close games. The Texans was a win, and you played close with the Chiefs. But the reason you played close with the Chiefs is because of that defense.
Yeah, no, exactly. But
so he had time to make a decision.
He didn't progress. Didn't progress at all. I mean, we watched him in training camp. He looked exactly the same. So, you know, Ryan Cowden came in and immediately made a move that he felt was a better alternative than Malik Willis. And as it comes for Tim Kelly, you know, Tim Kelly was the OC for the Houston Texans back when Deshaun Watson was there. I mean, he was the OC when Deshaun Watson, in his final season, led the league in passing yards. He was also the OC when they were a consistent playoff contender. And really, he got fired after Bill O'Brien traded DeAndre Hopkins for chump change. You know what I mean?
But, I mean, Bill O'Brien was running that organization into the ground single-handedly.
And he did. And that's the thing is I feel like Tim Kelly got a better – and the Houston Texans, because Mike Vrabel initially wanted to interview Tim Kelly before –
Yeah, he tried to bring him here.
He tried to bring him here, but they blocked him. So he didn't get the opportunity to really get that OC position. So if you promote Tim Kelly, it's going to be a fresh face. It's going to be a different offense. It's – well, not a different scheme, but it's going to look a little bit different. He's a better play caller. So I think if you go in-house, it's not just going to be the same old things. Guys have different opinions. Guys mm-hmm. saw what the coaches and what the GMs did beforehand. They're going to do something different.
So really quickly, guys, we got about 30 seconds. I want yes or no answers. We've got Ben Arthur coming up next. Do you think Ryan Tannehill can compete with some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL? Not the AFC, the NFL as a whole.
No.
Nope.
I have a thought on that that we will come back to at 10:15. Coming up next, we have Ben Arthur joining us from Fox Sports. He's in Jacksonville right now to cover the Super Wild Card game between the Chargers and the Jags tonight. We're going to talk about the Tennessee Titans season. We're also going to talk about the Jags, and could they be taking over the AFC South? You're listening to the Michelle and Juni Show, 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.